flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Ride It Home with Rich, brought to you by Mosby Building Arts and Aqua Systems, with additional support from Seniors Home Care and the Missouri Athletic Club. And now, here's your host, Rich Orris.
Good Saturday afternoon, and welcome to Ride It Home with Rich. For the next hour, I'm your man, your go-to guy, the man with the plan. I can help you with all your home remodeling projects, issues, thoughts, concerns, anything about your house. Give me a call today, 314-241-9797 or 866-455-9797. So, you know, have you ever just thought, man, I wish I had someone who could just help me with that? Maybe you have an idea, but you're wondering, you know, is it really a good idea? Not all ideas are necessarily good ideas. How do you know if it's good or not? When do you know for sure? Well, what do you do to find out? You call an expert. You ask for advice. We do this with medical situations every day. You know, why do we do it? Because the consequences, you know, of those actions are so high with medical issues, they could even be life-threatening. Well, the consequences with just performing a job wrong or not doing the work well could be just as high of a consequence, or at least, at the least, it just costs you extra money. You got to redo it. You got to rebuild it. No one wants to do that. So that is why I'm here. That's why I do what I do every day for Mosby Building Arts, to help you not make those mistakes. That's the goal, to make a positive difference in everyone's life every day. So consider me your house doctor for the next hour and call in for advice. Anything you need, inside or out, 314-241-9797 or 866-455-9797. So we got a great stuff going on today. My hack today, I've got ways to eliminate dust from your home, which you will be surprised, maybe even shocked, at least one of the ways that you can keep dust down. So stay tuned for that in the middle of the show. But today I can cover, got some kitchen and bathroom update stuff, got some ways to make your outdoor areas, you know, more of a great place to be, more of an oasis for you. But first, I'd kind of like to start with, you know, educating consumers. You know, how do we educate our clients, the public, ourselves? And really, the first thing we got to think about is, you know, why is this so important? Why should we change our ways? What is it really for? How does it help to create a place that just strives on education? What does it do for you? And because, you know, when you do that, it kind of sets the stage. It provides great directions and great expectations for everything that's going to happen. Just basically keeps everybody happy with results that can deliver you know, long-lasting projects with less maintenance to them, or it can just let you know the difference, educate you on how much maintenance will you need in the future, what will you really be up against so that you can make these quality decisions. So how do we do this? Well, first, really, we have to start with ourselves. We have to, you know, always start from within. Think about, you know, we got to educate ourselves. It's hard to help anyone else if you're not really educated in the thing that you're trying to do or trying to help with. So, you know, kind of like that doctor, always going back to school, always reading, always learning about the latest thing, the new medications, the new things going on. Well, here at Mosby, we are doing the same thing. So aside from years of experience, so me personally, I've got over 30 years of experience. I have a 5-star certification in roofing, siding, moisture, Energy Star certification, building performance trained, lead safe practices, certified renovator, master shingle applicator, all these things to know and understand what we're doing, how we're going to do it, so that we can show, advise, and predict kind of the best things out there and the best things going on today. So we can get into how do we help you as the consumer, and how do we deliver these points and everything to you in just a little bit. But I'd like to go ahead and jump to the phone and get to our first question with Jeff, if we can. Jeff, are you on the line with us there?
You bet. How are you this morning?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for calling, Jeff. What do you got going?
Well, I'm taking a look at my tired wrap on my beams and posts underneath the deck. So my question is, you know, there's the aluminum coil, there's the PVC coated aluminum coil, there's PVC breakable wrap, and now there is also a these prefab high end PVC products that are made to break at the corners and seam with glue. What's your perspective on those? What insight can you give me?
So the one main piece of insight I can definitely get into with that is, depending on, you know, what type of beam or wood you're wrapping, if it's the older treated lumber and the deck's been there a while, the PVC coated, any type of PVC coated, the metal, the breakable, or any type of PVC like that is good, because it won't corrode with the treated portion of the actual treated wood. So there's a lot of aluminums and galvanized metals out there that over years, the treated formula in the actual wood will corrode that metal, wear it out. It'll just rust out the nails, all of right. That. So you got to use the right coated material. So the PVC coated is definitely a great way to go, whether you're, you know, using the breakable metal to kind of cover everything up, or, you know, whether it's a solid PVC or something that's getting nailed on. The biggest thing I would tell you with the PVC coated metal, when you do the breakable and you wrap that, you really got to watch how you put that on there and how you do those laps, because it can actually, if you lap it wrong, what we call reverse flashing, if you lap it the wrong way, it will actually let more water in behind it, and then that will actually rot out the wood even faster, kind of holding that wetness and that moisture in and not letting it out. So we see that a lot with decks and front porches, front porch post columns and things like that. It gets in around the top or the soffit of the porch, comes in around that metal wrap around the post, and it's the issue is it's trapped in there and it can't really get out. So it will rot even that treated lumber a lot faster because it's not allowing it to dry once it gets wet. So that's kind of what I would advise on that stuff. Is it's good stuff to use, but you have to be very careful how you do it so that you're not trapping moisture in, and you flash it all and wrap it the right direction there to keep the water and the moisture out.
Do you have time to touch base on the 3/8 inch or so sheet PVC that they've routed, break corners into it, and it gives you a complete wrap, and then you glue it at the corners as well as the two meeting edges? Are you familiar with those high end products I'm talking about? I think Versatech is one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So those PVC products are wonderful. The biggest thing is how you install that, gluing the corners, everything like they say, but also read the manufacturer's recommendations on how often you screw that to the wood. Because the thinner it gets, that 3/8, it's a great product. It'll never go away, but it will warp in the heat, in the sun, stuff like that. So it needs to be attached like every 10, 12 inches, something like that, with an actual row of screws. That stuff works great, but you have to, kind of just like that brake metal, you have to apply it correctly the best way. So, hey, I appreciate the call, Jeff. Great questions and topics. And we got to get into our first break here. And when we get back, we can take more calls, and I can also get into what we do to really. All right, we are back. We are here. Got a lot going on today. A lot of information. Had a great question about some deck products from Jeff. And, you know, I wanted to really stress before I get back at this, the importance of checking with all of those products, reading their specifications, installing them the way that the manufacturer says, and watching for, you know, there's all sorts of stipulations. Some of them have to be so far off the ground. So if your deck is too close to the ground, they may not recommend using it there. There's all sorts of, you know, stipulations that go hand in hand with that, and how you attach it, how you screw it. Really, that I think that is the most important thing out there for everyone to know and understand is, you know, we were talking about educating ourselves. After the next call, I want to get into, you know, how we educate our clients, but definitely educate yourself on these products and everything to make sure you're getting them right, because the best products installed the wrong way, it just doesn't help anybody out there. So I want to let's get back to the phones. We've got Craig on the line, has some underdecking products questions. Hey, Craig, what do you got going for us? Are you there?
Hey, yeah, good afternoon.
Thanks for calling.
We're having a deck put on, and we're having the Vecca product put on the top, and we're contemplating some underdeck product, and the contractor had said that on probably 75% to 80% of the decks that they do, they basically just use a corrugated steel product, which is pretty similar to like a pole barn, and then they turn it upside down for the most part, with typically the white side showing, but they do have some other colors available from their supplier. And then the other two products that he said are more commercially available that they do are Inside Out and Rain Tight. And quite frankly, the corrugated steel product is going to be about half to maybe 60% the cost of the other two products, and I wanted to get your input on those.
Yeah, so that is a great question, and something that we run into, you know, quite often. And honestly, the biggest thing that I found with all of these underdecking products is really, number one, I've seen so many people try to like close in underneath the deck once this product's there. And it really, these products are not 100% dry, completely tight, keep everything out. They get clogged sometimes. They need some maintenance work to them, cleaned out, you know, after some time, stuff like that. So what I really advise is to look at your circumstance around you, and how many leaves and debris and stuff like that get on the surface of your deck. Because if you back to woods, if you have a bunch of trees, if you've always got leaves and debris, it's still okay to do. It just ups the maintenance of those products. So going with, you know, and they're all kind of that way. They're not perfect, and they need to be maintained and cleaned out. And when they get clogged, they will back up and they will drip water, you know, down where you didn't want the water to drip, you know, the spot you're trying to keep dry. So the corrugated steel stuff, you know, for half the price, to me, it's all gonna, if it's installed well, like I was just kind of talking about, it's all gonna work pretty much the same, pretty well. There may come a time if you have enough leaves and dirt and debris and stuff like that, that you may need to pull some of that down and clean it and get all the debris and stuff out of there and put it back. So, you know, the pricing in the corrugated steel might be just the product that works really well for you, you know, in the end, and it'll leave you some funds to do the maintenance of it, you know, down the road if you're having it clogging and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we're pretty fortunate. We do back to woods. However, we're pretty fortunate in that there really aren't very many leaves that get on the deck, more so on the patio that's underneath. And we have a paver patio underneath there. And it's highly unlikely that we would ever box it in. We may put some of those retractable screens that you can get that are kind of like a garage door. We may do that at some point, but that's certainly way down the road. But I really don't have any intention on boxing it in and making it more of a three-season room or anything like that. We just basically want to be able to, quite frankly, sit underneath the deck and maybe watch the ball game or something.
Yep. No, I think that would, any of those products would work fine for the use that you're talking about. And another thing that I've done, and it comes with some, you know, some maintenance and stuff like that too, is I've had a couple of them where they really were in a high tree density area. They, you know, it was getting clogged all the time. So basically we've done it where we've put down some screening first and then put the deck boards down. And that way everything, you know, it'll cause a clog up on top of the deck. You know, you got screens between the boards.
Oh, gotcha. Mm-hmm.
All the debris is getting caught there. You got to try and blow it out, you know, keep it clean that way. If you broom it or really try and clean it out, you could end up ripping the screens. You got to be very careful. So same amount of maintenance and stuff like that, you could end up against, you know, trying to do it that way. But if you don't get a lot on the deck, then I think you'll be pretty good. And, you know, I would honestly probably save some of that money for the maintenance down the road or the screens you might want to add. So, all right, Craig, perfect. Hey, I appreciate the call. Yep. We got a hard break I got to get to. Another great question, and I really appreciate that. And for anybody else, feel free to get with us. Give us a call. When we come back, I will have my hack. We've got some interesting ways to keep dust down inside your home, so you're not going to want to miss that. So we will be right back, and we are live rolling through everything. And just like they said, time for the hack. So today I want to talk about how to keep your home a little less dusty. There's some simple items that may come as a surprise, but you can do to kind of keep the dust levels down in your home. And here's just a small list of a few of the simple things you could do. And, you know, the first thing on the list is always is to kind of try and stop the dust, the dirt at the door. You know, keep a rug outside, keep the boot cleaner thing outside, keep mats where you need them, and, you know, be extra careful shaking them out, and just try to keep everything to the outdoors, obviously. Indoors, inside the house, eliminating thick carpet and rugs. I mean, carpeting is one of the biggest contributors to dust around the house. Vacuuming, shaking out rugs frequently will help, but you know, getting rid of some of them and going to harder surface floors is a great way to do that. The next on the list is actually washing your bed linens a little more often than you think you need to. How often you do that? You know, sadly, there's dust mites, which love to live in your bed, and there's, you know, all this kind of nasty, gross stuff that you just don't even realize from your skin, dust from your skin. So just doing those washes more often will help tremendously. Monitoring your vacuum cleaner. You know, when you vacuum, you can vacuum all you want, but if your machine isn't really filtering well, isn't keeping the dust inside, so a lot of times, you know, if you don't have HEPA filters, stuff like that, on a really good vacuum, you're putting, you know, 30-40% of the dust right back into the air, and you really don't even realize it. So for your furnace, change your furnace filters often, right? Just go ahead and do it every single month. They say is a huge thing. If you do it once a month, that will really help keep the dust down. And my favorite, and something I talk to clients all the time about, is the humidity in your home. If you keep the humidity where you need it to be, when you don't, if you don't let it dry out, drying out the humidity will add to the dust that can move around the house and get around even more. The humidity will help kind of hold it down. So if you keep that humidity right, experts say, you know, 30 to 50%. I personally think 50% is getting a little high. Try not to keep it over 45, but if you could be like 40 to 45% humidity, that will actually help you keep that dust down. So you can find more information on all these hacks on my social media. If you check it out later this week, look me up on Facebook, Rich Orris Mosby, Twitter at Rich Orris. We'll post all this later in the week. And I hope it is helpful for everyone. And we'll see Facebook Live a little bit later next week. And so for now, you know, talking about humidity level and the humidity in the house, you know, I just had a client that called in and was talking to us and asking some of our guys, you know, about the humidity in his house and, you know, what was really going on. And sometimes it takes a lot of investigation and everything to really get this done and to get it figured out, you know, where stuff comes from, kind of a trial and error, you know, type situation, talking and asking a lot of questions. And, you know, being a leader in the industry and considered the experts and everything, we get a lot of these questions from everybody. But this particular house was very interesting because they had a very well-built, very tight, newer home. They had used, you know, closed cell foam insulation around the walls, around the perimeter of the basement, around, you know, on top of the attic. Then they added all their regular blown-in insulation on top of that to get that true R value for the system. But basically that closed cell doesn't let a lot of moisture travel from one side of the wall to the other or out of the wall if it gets inside the wall. In our area, in our climate, you have to be very, very careful with all of this. And so after, you know, going through so much, talking so much about it, asking a ton of questions about the HVAC system, about everything around the house, finally figured out that they added a new vent in their kitchen, an exhaust vent, and it had so much power, so much CFM. When you get over, like, I think it's either 500 or 600 CFM in most areas, then they make you add some air intake into the house. So when they did this, they added an air intake into the house, but they didn't use a system that actually changes the air temperature, that, you know, that will actually control the air that's coming into the house before it gets into your system. So the problem that they had was with it just bringing in, you know, as hot as it's been, think about all the rain we've had the past week or two, how hot it's been the past week or two. When his furnace was kicking on, trying to lower the temperature of the house, blowing very cold air, then this 8-inch pipe they had was literally just sucking in 95 degree, you know, 60, 70, 80% relative humidity air into the system with it, and just literally, you know, raising the level of the humidity in that entire house. So there's so many things that can change and really drastically, you know, change things in your home like that, that you've just got to watch for. And it's, you know, looking at like, wow, is, you know, are some of these companies doing the right thing? Are they really thinking about the, you know, repercussions of what they're about to do? This is something we do at, you know, Mosby all the time. And we really, you know, try our best and work our best at what are you asking for? Is it the best thing? How is it really going to help you or not? Is it going to do something like this and possibly have an adverse effect, you know, on how your house is managed and functioning and, you know, everything else with it? So it's really something to think long and hard about when you're talking to companies and when you're looking at getting work done, and, you know, making sure you have a company or a person even, you know, that works with that company that wants to be educated, wants to educate you, wants to be a good advisor, not just an order taker. You know, this is what I want, so this is what we're going to give you. And no one thinks about the implications of, you know, how that works. And I've seen it in every aspect of remodeling. I've seen it like this one with HVAC, not doing the right system that will actually, you know, temper the air that you're bringing into your house so that you don't cause problems. I've seen them just install it in the craziest fashions because they don't, you know, understand how to break through walls in order to get a pipe through, or they just don't want to go through all that, or they think it'll cost too much. I've seen it with, you know, people on a screened-in porch that had a fireplace that was gas, and then somebody came in and said, can we put a three-season room? Can we enclose this in with some windows and stuff? Sure. And they did that. And yes, you could do that. Was it a good idea? Not really, because the fireplace was actually not rated. It was rated to be outside. So after that, they're trapped in this indoor room, and they're getting carbon monoxide and stuff in this room. They ended up having to, you know, redo this fireplace in order to be able to keep the three-season room. But it's somebody that's just really not thinking about, okay, what are those implications of what I'm about to do? You know, they don't know anything about the fireplace. They don't understand, so they don't look towards that. So I would advise, find a full-service company like Mosby that thinks about these things, that works with these things. And you can check us out as a company at our website, callmosby.com, callmosby.com. Or we are back and we are live, rolling through everything. And just like they said, time for the hack. So today I want to talk about how to keep your home a little less dusty. There's some simple items that may come as a surprise, but you can do to kind of keep the dust levels down in your home. And here's just a small list of a few of the simple things you could do. And, you know, the first thing on the list is always is to kind of try and stop the dust, the dirt at the door. You know, keep a rug outside. Keep the boot cleaner thing outside. Keep mats where you need them. And, you know, be extra careful shaking them out. And just try to keep everything to the outdoors, obviously. indoors inside the house, eliminating thick carpet and rugs. I mean, carpeting is one of the biggest contributors to dust around the house. Vacuuming, shaking out rugs frequently will help, but you know, getting rid of some of them and going to harder surface floors is a great way to do that. The next on the list is actually washing your bed linens a little more often than you think you need to. How often you do that? You know, sadly, there's dust mites, which love to live in your bed, and there's, you know, all this kind of nasty, gross stuff that you just don't even realize from your skin, dust from your skin. So just doing those washes more often will help tremendously. Monitoring your vacuum cleaner. You know, when you vacuum, you can vacuum all you want, but if your machine isn't really filtering well, isn't keeping the dust inside, so a lot of times, you know, if you don't have HEPA filters, stuff like that on a really good vacuum, you're putting, you know, 30-40% of the dust right back into the air and you really don't even realize it. So for your furnace, change your furnace filters often, right? Just go ahead and do it every single month. They say is a huge thing. If you do it once a month, that will really help keep the dust down. And my favorite, and something I talk to clients all the time about, is the humidity in your home. If you keep the humidity where you need it to be, when you don't, if you don't let it dry out, drying out the humidity will add to the dust that can move around the house and get around even more. The humidity will help kind of hold it down. So if you keep that humidity right, experts say, you know, 30 to 50%. I personally think 50% is getting a little high. Try not to keep it over 45, but if you could be like 40 to 45% humidity, that will actually help you keep that dust down. So you can find more information on all these hacks on my social media. If you check it out later this week, look me up on Facebook, Rich Orris Mosby, Twitter at Rich Orris. We'll post all this later in the week. And I hope it is helpful for everyone. And we'll see Facebook Live a little bit later next week. And so for now, you know, talking about humidity level and the humidity in the house, you know, I just had a client that called in and was talking to us and asking some of our guys, you know, about the humidity in his house and, you know, what was really going on. And sometimes it takes a lot of investigation and everything to really get this done and to get it figured out, you know, where stuff comes from, kind of a trial and error, you know, type situation, talking and asking a lot of questions. And, you know, being a leader in the industry and considered the experts and everything, we get a lot of these questions from everybody. But this particular house was very interesting because they had a very well-built, very tight, newer home. They had used, you know, closed cell foam insulation around the walls, around the perimeter of the basement, around, you know, on top of the attic. Then they added all their regular blown-in insulation on top of that to get that true R value for the system. But basically that closed cell doesn't let a lot of moisture travel from one side of the wall to the other or out of the wall if it gets inside the wall. In our area, in our climate, you have to be very, very careful with all of this. And so after, you know, going through so much, talking so much about it, asking a ton of questions about the HVAC system, about everything around the house, finally figured out that they added a new vent in their kitchen, an exhaust vent, and it had so much power, so much CFM. When you get over, like, I think it's either 500 or 600 CFM in most areas, then they make you add some air intake into the house. So when they did this, they added an air intake into the house, but they didn't use a system that actually changes the air temperature that, you know, that will actually control the air that's coming into the house before it gets into your system. So the problem that they had was with it just bringing in, you know, as hot as it's been. Think about all the rain we've had the past week or two, how hot it's been the past week or two. When his furnace was kicking on, trying to lower the temperature of the house, blowing very cold air, then this 8-inch pipe they had was literally just sucking in 95 degree, you know, 60, 70, 80% relative humidity air into the system with it, and just literally, you know, raising the level of the humidity in that entire house. So there's so many things that can change and really drastically, you know, change things in your home like that, that you've just got to watch for. And it's, you know, looking at like, wow, is, you know, are some of these companies doing the right thing? Are they really thinking about the, you know, repercussions of what they're about to do? This is something we do at, you know, Mosby all the time. And we really, you know, try our best and work our best at what are you asking for? Is it the best thing? How is it really going to help you or not? Is it going to do something like this and possibly have an adverse effect, you know, on how your house is managed and functioning and, you know, everything else with it? So it's really something to think long and hard about when you're talking to companies and when you're looking at getting work done, and, you know, making sure you have a company or a person even, you know, that works with that company that wants to be educated, wants to educate you, wants to be a good advisor, not just an order taker. You know, this is what I want, so this is what we're going to give you. And no one thinks about the implications of, you know, how that works. And I've seen it in every aspect of remodeling. I've seen it like this one with HVAC, not doing the right system that will actually, you know, temper the air that you're bringing into your house so that you don't cause problems. I've seen them just install it in the craziest fashions because they don't, you know, understand how to break through walls in order to get a pipe through, or they just don't want to go through all that, or they think it'll cost too much. I've seen it with, you know, people on a screened in porch that had a fireplace that was gas, and then somebody came in and said, can we put a three season room? Can we enclose this in with some windows and stuff? Sure. And they did that. And yes, you could do that. Was it a good idea? Not really, because the fireplace was actually not rated. It was rated to be outside. So after that, they're trapped in this indoor room and they're getting carbon monoxide and stuff in this room. They ended up having to, you know, redo this fireplace in order to be able to keep the three season room. But it's somebody that's just really not thinking about, okay, what are those implications of what I'm about to do? You know, they don't know anything about the fireplace. They don't understand. So they don't look towards that. So I would advise, find a full service company like Mosby that thinks about these things, that works with these things. And you can check us out as a company at our website, callmosby.com, callmosby.com. Or if you want to have me out, if you want to have one of us out, you want to look at any different type of project from inside to outside, we do absolutely everything. So feel free to call our office at 314-909-1800. We'll get something set up for you, and we can help you just like I've been talking about. So we'll get back into more of this stuff when we return. We're going to get into our final break of the hour here and maybe talk a little bit about this education stuff a little more, or if you have a question, call in. So we'll be right back. All right, we are back, and we do have a few minutes, so we can get your call in. If you have a question, need some advice, got anything crazy going on, and with all of the rain that we've had here lately, boy, the grass is getting tall. The roof leaks are happening. The amount of roof leaks that people think they have that turn into be an actual siding wall leak or a wall to roof transition, you know, leak that actually needs to include the wall itself, what's behind the siding, how the flashing's put on, like we were talking about, you know, with that deck and how you wrap that metal. You got to do this in a manner that keeps that water out, or if it gets in, and we all know it gets behind vinyl siding, it gets, you know, behind a lot of these siding products. It actually soaks right through brick. That's why we have these moisture barriers, you know, drainage planes that we put on to take the water down and put it where we want. So very, very important thing, you know, to look at and do. So if you've got anything crazy like that, feel free to give me a call. Maybe we can talk it out. For now, I want to touch on, you know, educating clients and really striving to be the best. I mean, because in order to be the best for you, we have to literally strive to be the best for ourselves. And we have to desire to do that. We have to have methods and ways of, you know, educating that through the company and really having processes and stuff set up to do that. So, you know, beginning with like a vision and mission statement, you know, our vision is to be the Midwest's most desired home remodeling company. I think we're doing a wonderful job at that. And our mission statement is to enhance lives and homes by relentlessly outperforming expectations for the home remodeling industry. And we strive that in, and, you know, outperform, I think, is the key to everything on how you train from within and how you teach people to treat people, educate people. What are the goals while you're out there, you know, looking at the house, figuring out projects or building the projects? You know, the goals and even building the projects are of course, you know, great quality, do the right thing, build it well, flash it right, keep the water out. That's all wonderful, but there's so much into the respect and the accountability, commitment to excellence, the teamwork and everybody that plays into, you know, how you do all that. So the ways that we try and, you know, help the consumer out there. Traditionally, we used to hold all these seminars about 4 or 5 times a year. We'd have an actual seminar where we could get together and we can talk about all these different types of projects. We can educate people. So now in the current situation, we're doing a lot of this stuff, you know, online. So if you enjoy researching, information gathering, we have the resources to help get you through all of that. You know, sometimes in our industry, it could be a bit overwhelming, everything that's happening and, you know, how you get through it. And if you don't, you know, understand everything, then you gotta rely on the advice you're given. So some of the things we do, like last Thursday, we had a Facebook Live where Jake Spurgeon, one of our design consultants, spoke about adding a bathroom to your basement. I'm sure you can go back and, you know, find that on Facebook. So I hope you all can get back and see that. Another one we're about to do on August 5th from 4:30 to 5:30. We're going to have a webinar and we're going to be, you know, using some of our experts to talk about the 10 steps to having a successful kitchen remodel. You know, what do you need to do? What do you need to look for? They'll talk about the companies and what to ask, what to get into, you know, how do you control the process? How do you make sure you've got good people, you've got good experts? So They'll give you all the information you need to ensure, you know, that that remodeling journey is easy on you. It's stress-free. The topics they'll cover, you know, would be all sorts of things like from design inspirations to comparing estimates, the timelines, construction considerations, and everything that you need to know about that. So you can go to our website and register for that webinar. If you go to callmosby.com, callmosby, you can call our office for any of our services at 314-909-1800. We do everything, kitchens, baths, exteriors, remodeling, great big design build jobs. We could do it all for you, and I'd love to help you out with it. So I am running out of time here, but I want to thank our callers. Jeff and Craig had some great questions on decks. I could have really spoke the whole hour about that, and had a great time with everybody. And everybody be good out there, and I will talk to you all next week. All right, we are back, and we do have a few minutes, so we can get your call in. If you have a question, need some advice, got anything crazy going on, and with all of the rain that we've had here lately, boy, the grass is getting tall. The roof leaks are happening. The amount of roof leaks that people think they have that turn into be an actual siding wall leak or a wall to roof transition, you know, leak that actually needs to include the wall itself, what's behind the siding, how the flashing's put on, like we were talking about, you know, with that deck and how you wrap that metal. You got to do this in a manner that keeps that water out, or if it gets in, and we all know it gets behind vinyl siding, it gets, you know, behind a lot of these siding products, it actually soaks right through brick. That's why we have these moisture barriers, you know, drainage planes that we put on to take the water down and put it where we want. So very, very important thing, you know, to look at and do. So if you've got anything crazy like that, feel free to give me a call. Maybe we can talk it out. For now, I want to touch on, you know, educating clients and really striving to be the best. I mean, because in order to be the best for you, we have to literally strive to be the best for ourselves. And we have to desire to do that. We have to have methods and ways of, you know, educating that through the company and really having processes and stuff set up to do that. So, you know, beginning with like a vision and mission statement, you know, our vision is to be the Midwest's most desired home remodeling company. I think we're doing a wonderful job at that. And our mission statement is to enhance lives and homes by relentlessly outperforming expectations for the home remodeling industry. And we strive that in, and, you know, outperform, I think, is the key to everything on how you train from within and how you teach people to treat people, educate people. What are the goals while you're out there, you know, looking at the house, figuring out projects or building the projects? You know, the goals and even building the projects are, of course, you know, great quality, do the right thing, build it well, flash it right, keep the water out. That's all wonderful, but there's so much into the respect and the accountability, commitment to excellence, the teamwork and everybody that plays into, you know, how you do all that. So the ways that we try and, you know, help you, help the consumer out there. Traditionally, we used to hold all these seminars about 4 or 5 times a year. We'd have an actual seminar where we could get together and we can talk about all these different types of projects. We can educate people. So now in the current situation, we're doing a lot of this stuff, you know, online. So if you enjoy researching, information gathering, We have the resources to help get you through all of that. You know, sometimes in our industry, it could be a bit overwhelming, everything that's happening and, you know, how you get through it. And if you don't, you know, understand everything, then you got to rely on the advice you're given. So some of the things we do, like last Thursday, we had a Facebook Live where Jake Spurgeon, one of our design consultants, spoke about adding a bathroom to your basement. I'm sure you can go back and, you know, find that on Facebook. So I hope you all can get back and see that. Another one we're about to do on August 5th from 4:30 to 5:30. We're going to have a webinar and we're going to be, you know, using some of our experts to talk about the 10 steps to having a successful kitchen remodel. You know, what do you need to do? What do you need to look for? They'll talk about the companies and what to ask, what to get into, you know, how do you control the process? How do you make sure you've got good people, you've got good experts? So they'll give you all the information you need to ensure, you know, that remodeling journey is easy on you. It's stress-free. The topics they'll cover, you know, would be all sorts of things like from design inspirations to comparing estimates, the timelines, construction considerations, and everything that you need to know about that. So you can go to our website and register for that webinar. If you go to callmosby.com, callmosby, you can call our office for any of our services at 314-909-1800. We do everything, kitchens, baths, exteriors, remodeling, great big design build jobs. We could do it all for you, and I'd love to help you out with it. So I am running out of time here, but I want to thank our callers. Jeff and Craig had some great questions on decks. I could have really spoke the whole hour about that, and had a great time with everybody. And everybody be good out there, and I will talk to you all next week.